100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone, and a special good morning to everyone who has an extra hour in the day. You can waste it on this, the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, where I post the topic and challenge you to come up with a 100 word story based on the topic. Some of you have used that hour up already to write and record your own story, but others will waste that hour listening to this. Or you can just skip ahead and just listen to all the stories. Anyway, this is Lauren Simon. I'm your host here. Hi. Hello. How you doing? And I'm going to just get right to it. We've got a bunch of stories, bunch of voices on the topic of... Wait. Voice? Strange. This thing says voyage. Here. Fixed. Sometimes. Every week I make some sort of mistake. Sometimes it's just doing the podcast. So before I make that mistake again, let's go ahead and just say hi to Thomas. He's ready. He's first. He's waiting for me to stop babbling and hand you the microphone. Here he is.
Her voice, specifically her fully open-mouthed performance laugh, could cut diamonds. I was sipping coffee last Monday when a burst of sharp sound cut into my brain from my left. The source of the explosion was a skinny, short-haired woman of middle age yucking it up with her husband and another couple. Why did she make the noise project even more by opening her mouth and throat to allow this painful noise to escape into the crowded room? Did she want us to notice her? I wanted to throw my heavy mug at her temple to silence her. Today, while submitting a lesson for my course at Penn State, I mistakenly used the word deadloin instead of the word deadline. My writing voice has aided me in using these errors in ways that are valid and pertinent to my poetry and prose. Deadloin could be a title for the story of a man whose age has left him tired and limp when he should be vigorous and prepared at a moment's notice by merely putting his hands around the waist of a woman, as it does in the sweet dreams that he recalled from last week's Dream Fest. During the monthly meeting at the mayor's coffee house gatherings, a few of us voiced our opinions about the recent additions to the streets and downtown core. A large circular logo was embedded in the center of the street at the main intersection, and several bicycle stands and metal waste containers were placed strategically around town. The logo depicts the teats of one of the original dairy farmers' prize milkers, and measuring 10 feet in diameter, shocks tourists and young children. The waste containers are painted fluorescent orange with glow-in-the-dark lettering that reads, "Waste management fondles your trash." Her voice was tiny, and she kept to herself, having been kidnapped by human traffickers and sold as a sex slave to the Sudanese Coast Guard. She looked like Sally Fields when she played in The Flying Nun. Now working quietly as a barista in Sylvester's Coffee Emporium, she breaks down every couple of hours and retires to the storeroom to cry and grab hits off her glass pipe. Over the past 6 months, I've noticed she put on some weight in her behind and carries her wallet in her hand now, as it won't fit in her back pocket. "He screwed the pooch by giving voice to his feelings about public education when he spoke to the Board of Education at an open forum. He lambasted the superintendent for allowing the first 2 hours of every Monday for special teachers' training time, and a number of other special days set aside for meetings, inclement weather, assemblies, picture day, senior day, statewide test day, etc. Turns out the district had 90 actual school days last year, and 80% of the seniors failed the state exams, behind Arkansas and Mississippi. His application to teach advanced placement math was rejected malevolently.
Thank you, Thomas. And I got your note. And my answer is... Oh, it's time for Jeffrey. Well, okay, I'll go ahead and play his stories. There you go. Isn't that fun? Right, here. Let's just drag and drop it.
Good morning, 100 Word Stories podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher, back with two more stories, this time on the topic of voice. My first story is called Taking Advice. Sarah had always suffered from hearing voices in her head. Some part of her was aware that this was only a damaged part of her mind speaking, and she could usually push those voices away and ignore them. A deep male voice would tell her to diet more, or she'd never find a boyfriend. A sexy female voice would give her clothing advice. A shrill voice of indeterminate gender provided feedback on career decisions. When all three spoke at once, Sarah ended up with a headache. In her firm's kitchenette, Sarah stared at the last piece of cake left over from Jim's retirement party. "Don't eat the cake," a deep voice said. She pushed it away. "I mean it. Don't eat the cake." She closed her eyes and ignored it. As she reached to take the cake, Betty from accounting slapped her hand away and grabbed the piece for herself. "You selfish jerk," Betty said in a husky tone. "Didn't you hear me? Leave some for me." All right, after making fun of people with mental illnesses, we'll make fun of a whole different group of people. My second story is called Democracy in Action. 10-year-old Timmy came home from school, excited to tell his parents about his civics class. "Miss Crimmins says in a democracy everyone should have a voice." Timmy's parents were so charmed by this that they agreed to run the household as a democracy. Mom and Dad winked at each other because they knew their two votes would always win over Timmy's single vote. The next day, Timmy explained that protecting the rights of the minority was important, and demanded a supermajority for important decisions, such as bedtime or how many Brussels sprouts he had to eat. After that, Timmy had no trouble with his parents. That's it for this week. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You know, this has been a really good week, even though it was pretty light at work, and the demo went a little weird on Thursday. But all in all, it was all right. I mean, Gina's enjoying her new truck. I'm enjoying driving to work instead of the bus and walking to the bus stop and getting to work all stanky and icky. I'm feeling so good about it that on Wednesday when I got home, I thought about moving my live readings from back from Saturdays to Wednesdays. Who am I kidding? Forget that, man. No, I'm thinking about it. I feel a lot better. Also, I'm waking up a little later, and because I can stay up a little later because I'm not so tired. And in the mornings, you know, I'm online for a bit and download this and that. And then I lay on the floor and play with Mist for a while, a little more than usual. She likes it. She's a happy cat. And then when I get home, instead of going to the gym or anything, I just flop on the sofa. Tinny jumps up and gets more daddy time. So everyone's a winner, except, of course, for the environment that's choking on the truck's fumes. You know what, people? Suck it. I like this whole attitude of, oh, we got to save the planet, leave it to our children and grandchildren. Screw it. Make it worse. That way that puts pressure on them, puts a deadline that they have to go into space. Otherwise, it's like, hey, we're playing video games and playing space. No, do space for real. This raises the bar. Oh, the fluffy orange. I'll talk about the fluffy orange cat in a bit. Anyway, I don't have any children or grandchildren, so what do I care? Here's, ooh, we got a new one. No, wait. No? Yeah. We got one from Four Worlds, who's checking in after a long absence. Four Worlds, what do you have to say for yourself?
3 rounds of chemo and 35 radiation treatments killed the tumor at the base of my tongue. They also damaged my body from head to toe. I'd make that deal any day, but I miss my old life. I miss being able to sing. I miss being able to eat without sipping water after every bite. I miss understanding speech without captions or lip reading. I miss waking in the morning without ringing in my ears and pins and needles in my fingers and toes. But what I long for most of all is the blessed illusion of invulnerability.
Oh, okay. Let me put that on my Christmas list for you. Blessed illusion of... Okay. Can I get that on Amazon? Maybe it's on eBay when people give it up for themselves. Oh, thank you, Four Worlds, and I know that feeling. My hand, it feels like rubber sometimes, because I open and close it a lot, because of the elbow and all the reattachments. I can't lift anything with the left arm all that much. I can hang a grocery bag from it. Sometimes I can open a door with it. But it's kind of, I don't have any strength, real strength in it. Oh, I can still punch somebody's lights out with the right hand, but it just, it isn't the same. Getting old sucks. So let's all stop it, shall we? Stop it right now. But it's good to know that, well, yeah. Well, this is a great way to introduce somebody new now, isn't it? Decatur Orlando Collins has actually published a book of 100-word stories out there. I'm sure the link in the show notes will wander you over there. A lot of people have put out books that are coming here to splash around in the shallow end, just to have a little fun and try. Well, Decatur is joining us for this time, and let's see what they've got. Decatur, tell us a story.
My name is Decatur Collins, and this story is simply called The Voice. Stephen had a conversation with the voice every day. It tended to be an incessant dialogue until one or the other of them fell asleep. The voice cajoled and upbraided and urged him to do the worst things. There was the time the voice commanded him to steal the money from his coworker's till, and she got fired. Or the time it wanted him to cheat on his girlfriend with that woman in the bar. Or his ongoing cocaine addiction. What made the whole thing even more perverted was the voice sounded just like his third grade teacher, Miss Boggs.
Thank you, Decatur. And once again, my streak of pronouncing people's names wrong continues. Otherwise known as mispronouncing. I should probably do another take of this. No, I want you to hear me on warts and all my flaws. And thank you, Decatur. And once again, in the show notes and all that, and people's links, and chase them down and stalk them and everything. Speaking of chasing down and stalking people, there's one thing that the government has been doing to the world, and that's spying on them and keeping statistics on them. We would never do that here at 100-Word Stories. Instead, we farm that out to the NSA of 100-Word Stories, otherwise known as Tom. Let's see what metadata he's collected on all of you. Tom?
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Numbers. Total stories just under 5,800. Story average, 17 and 3/4. It's quite possible we will break 6,000 stories at the 400th week mark. 12 of the top 14 authors are active this week. 15 of the top 20 are active. The top 10 authors collectively have posted 2,500 stories. Movement, Richard enters the top 20. There's a three-way tie for the 11th monkey, Chris, Jeffrey, and Cliff. 114 stories all. Justin retakes the 9th place, displacing TJ with 159 stories, a mere 7 stories behind Guy David. Tura posts his 100th story this week and thus becomes a golden monkey. All hail Tura. On any given week, this would be the big update, but this week we have a new second banana. For 300 weeks, I've held the number 2 position at the challenge. No longer. Master Singh, with a breathtaking 350 story units, takes the lead, all done in a span of little over a year. Thanks for all your stories, sir, and may your pen never dry. Oh yeah, all hail Singh.
Thank you, Tom, for that update. And most importantly, well, the UN will be calling. Everyone's protesting that you're spying on them and keeping stats on them. Just kidding. The headlines. Oh, this is our new information society. They're probably gathering data on us, writing all these crazy stories. You know what would be a good idea right now? Share some more stories. Here's Tom again with his actual stories.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight I have a mess of stories. From last week, prompt Stab, back in the day. Stab was the most eclectic hair band of the 80s. Probably never heard of them, in spite of the fact they released 14 albums and were the opening act for Spinal Tap. Their debut record, Bonfire of the Vanities, a selection of Shakespearean soliloquies in Esperanto, was an international success. Rolling Stones called them the masters of acid reggae. Frontman Puccinello Tirebiter wailed with the phrasing of Sinatra and the syncopation of Shatner. Stab's seminal work, Three Forks and a Spoon, never gained the airplay of Timmy in a Box. The deep track, Schrodinger's Cat, was totally pre-post-human. And with Stab within it, I have a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 21. Mother turned to the senator. I'm not fond of heights, she said, staring down at the ground 4 stories below. Sorry, out of time, replied the senator, giving the widow a push off the platform. Mother flew down the zip line, sailing over the Arno. A stabbing pain in her stomach rose up into her throat. Breathe, silly woman, she chastised herself. In a frontier fraught with fear, she was not about to let a childhood trauma get the better of her. Hadn't she stared down that Cassor Viper and clock a Varsin exopath? To no avail, she lost her lunch. And this week, part 22, the voice echoed from high on Mea Maxima Copa. Blood has been spilled. Blood is now demanded. Timmy scanned the silver horizon and found in a sea of angry faces a few earnest ones of support. Mother and the senator, Bannister and Dino, Sparky, and much to his surprise, Doc Proctor himself. 7 against thousands. Well, actually, millions against 1. Timmy tapped the dermal control pad as he brushed the high priest's hand. For the better part of a thousandth of a second, Master Parson pondered the efficacy of reprogramming another human being. Behold, he has returned, voiced the prophet. And the last story. You can't help yourself. One of the simple joys in life is messing with people's heads. It takes the form of getting them to embrace your silliness, just as they're about to dismiss you. One of my favorite gambits is the inverted, have you stopped beating your wife trap. In the original, silence is the proper response. Here goes. Michael is repairing a broken computer in your class. You announce to the students, you are hearing voices. Michael smirks. Then you say, the voices tell me to give all my money to Michael. 9 out of 10, Michael will yell out, listen to the voice.
Thank you, Tom. And, I'm still rolling over in my head the note from Thomas. And what I'm going to do, I've updated the weekly challenge page on the podcast site over there at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. The page ID is number 12. But you can click on weekly challenge there on the top. And it explains a few things. I'm going to read this aloud and probably post it there in audio format. So, just some thoughts, and this show may wind up longer than usual. The 100-word stories weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. How to participate in the weekly challenge. Come to the site and look for the most recent topic in the sidebar. You do not have to use the topic as a word or words in your actual story. You can be inspired by it. Let the topic inspire you to write a 100-word story. I don't word count every story. I expect you all to do that. If it's obvious that you're running well over or well under 100 words, I'll reply in an email asking if you've word counted it. Record that story with whatever voice recording editing software you have. I don't like to record stories for other people, because it ends up with my tone, my pace, my inflection, my voice. The author should read their own story, or have someone who is a voice performer read it for them. Also, come on, I do enough work on the podcast already. Please do not presume to burden me with additional work. Send the text and the sound file to isfullofcrap@gmail.com with the subject of weekly challenge. If you use another subject, it may get caught in the spam filters and I'll miss your email. I search for weekly challenge and then drag it in the folder. Or I might accidentally delete it when I'm sorting through my regular mail at 3 a.m. on my iPhone. Weekly challenge stands out. Finally, it's a good test to see if you can read and follow simple directions. Anyway, what goes in that email? Your name, given or chosen. This lets me know how you would like to be addressed on the podcast and marked in the show notes. A topic for the next week, because I get my ideas from you. I'm not necessarily going to use it, although I've gotten away from the really long ones that were really fun. The elephant in the room was a really good one. A URL to link back to. It's optional, but it lets people know where they can learn more about your writing and other stuff. If you don't want to do this, that's fine. And if you don't have a site, you can go to About Me or all kinds of other crappy sites out there that'll spam you with all sorts of stuff. And get used to it. Then tune in on Sunday for everybody's stories. I think it's important that you take the time to hear what others come up with. It may inspire you. And then repeat step one until the end of time. Although, if you want to take a break, or if you're done with this stuff, that's all right. It happens. If you're unable or unwilling to record your story, go ahead and send it in anyway. The text of your story will appear in the show notes, but it likely won't be recorded. Recording sessions are early Sunday morning, you know, like right now. Recordings that come in after the deadline will be posted separately on the feed. This prevents the main show from being delayed even more than it usually is. Good luck, and if you have any questions, write me at the email address. And, as always, keep it brief. There, I've read that out. If you have any questions about that, well, write me. Don't just put it in your story, though. And don't make your story about it, either. Oh, God. I suppose we should be moving on and continuing. I think Muncie can get us back on the track. Can you? Can you really, Muncie? Can you, Muncie? I hope you can. Fun boy.
Greetings, fellow carbon-based life forms. Muncie here, and definitely the real Muncie, and not a bot, programmed to write and record prompt stories in his stead while he slowly goes mad struggling through NaNoWriMo. Nope, not a bot. Nor a replicant, nor a clone. What a silly thought. Why would anyone suggest that I might be anything more than a normal human? You want a story? Here's one. Me in a Nutshell by Christopher Monroe. You misunderstand me. I'm not unfeeling, merely uncaring. As such, I feel your distress. I understand it completely. I just don't care. I know you find me unbearable at times. It's only natural. I am, at times, unbelievably irritating. To you, anyway. Indeed, to most people. You're by no means alone in your assessment. I understand this perfectly. I simply choose not to act upon it. Because, you see, I find the sound of my own voice incredibly soothing. Hearing me speak relaxes me to no end. So, in answer to your question, no, I won't shut the fuck up. Broken Escalator still available. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. See you later, my fellow carbon-based life forms, because I'm definitely still very much here, very much involved, and very much a real-life human being.
Carbon-based life form. Oh, if only we all were. You crazy human. Thank you, Munzee. Actually, right now I'm a caffeine-based life form trying to wake the hell up, even with an extra hour to sleep. I need to update my clock. Let's see. What clocks? What clocks have you updated today? All of those of you who are ending their tour through daylight savings time. Let's see. The clock on the nightstand I need to update. My iPhone updated itself. The laptop updated itself. I just changed the kitchen clock. I changed the 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi clock here in the palatial 100 Word Stories headquarters. I'm going to need to change the clock on the truck, which I've been doing every year for Gina. Now I get to do it for myself. Microwave? Yeah, I got to do that. I think the TV and the cable box and the DVD and all that rigmarole, that takes care of itself. And I have the gear clock at work, so that's actually going to be pretty easy. I just lift up the gear and rotate it a little. So, and then in Second Life, there's all, I don't know what clocks I have out. I don't think any of them really keep the right time. That's kind of the joke of Clock Tree Park. Nothing actually keeps the time. Although, the armillary is supposed to. I remove the prim that does it. And the sundial, I think, has it. There was a falling blocks clock, but I don't have that res anymore. Anyway, I should get sillier clocks out there. That would be fun. Oh, and I need to reset the hourglass. Sandial. What the hell is a sandial? Let's continue. We have Lizzie waiting for us, patiently, mind you. And she got bit by the hour change thingy yesterday at the live reading. She was like, oh, I missed it. No, you didn't. Still going on. So, although I may change it to Wednesdays. I don't know. See, it's good for some people, bad for others. Someone's always angry about something, and someone's jealous. And it's okay. Really, it's all right. And they're really just seething. And I'm like, really? You're seething over me? Right. Here's Lizzie. Her story. I really should tighten this up.
Throughout the day, people complained furiously about the relentless rain. It was annoying. It was infuriating. The screeching of cars at a distance got mixed with the hustle and bustle of a normal afternoon, preparing to close the day. No one knew it yet, but this would be the last day of their lives. The alert came over the radio. A shattered voice announced the unexpected tragedy, stuttering. It never completed the last sentence. A massive wave of water and debris killed all communication, turning cars into weightless toys. The irony. What was a bit of rain compared to this? This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Ah, the last day. There are a lot of those in Doctor Who. I'm going through all the, well, the old new. The new series of Doctor Who, the balding dude, the echo, the bald dude, the guy with the poofy hair, and then the dude with the bow tie. They're actually pretty good, although some of them really suck. Some were like, really? The Sylvester McCoy years were better than this one. It's like, oh, look, rubber suits. It's the writing. I know, it's the writing. Just deal with it. Although the Blink, I really liked. That one was really good. So I've got like one or two seasons left to watch on Netflix. And then, I'll have to hunt down the 2013 ones somewhere. I'm sure someone has a BitTorrent or whatever. Yeah, I know I'm openly saying the word BitTorrent, which means the NSA is now going to follow me and beat me up for Disney and Viacom and all those jerks. To cheer you up, how about let's listen to Richard? He's got some stories for you. Come on, Richard, cheer them up. And when I say them, I mean me.
Good morning, everyone. It's me again. I think I've got a cold coming. Speaking of which, Tom, I hope you're feeling a lot better. First story this week is a George story. The attack happened later that night. A sudden shout and the sound of gunfire roused George from sleep. Something had gone wrong. Badly wrong. Quickly, he grabbed his few belongings and ran for cover. Hidden behind a stack of oil drums, he peered into the darkness. Apart from shadows and the flash of weapons, there was little he could make out. He shivered and crouched in the shadows. A quiet sob in the darkness. Emily? Is that you? George? Where are you? I can't see a thing. Follow my voice, Emily. I'm here. Everything's going to be okay. I promise. The next story is called Always the Last Place You Look. When Grandfather lost his voice, we practically turned the house upside down trying to find it. We tried everywhere possible and a good few places that you wouldn't have considered possible too. We checked the refrigerator, under the kitchen sink, in his sock drawer, and even emptied the compost bin. But it was no use. Grandpa's voice was well and truly lost. Eventually, tired, dirty, and more than a little fed up, we decided to call off the search, and I sank gratefully into my seat. Ouch! You guessed it. It was down the back of the sofa all the time. And my next story is called How Much? Apparently, the pen is mightier than the sword, and a picture is worth a thousand words. But I've never found anyone who can tell me what a voice is worth. You'd think speech would have some sort of measure, or some method of calculating its value, but no. At least that's what I thought. It took me a while to work it out, but there it was, staring me right in the face. And somehow, I'd never made the connection. You want to know how much your voice is worth? Just open up your phone bill and take a look. Okay, take six of my final story. It's called Sounds Familiar. My first day on the job. Training fresh in my mind, script to hand, I was ready. With a sense of supreme self-confidence that only the foolish can boast. I quietly repeated my mantra. Grab their interest. Grab their cash. Grab the commission. Oh boy, was I going to be the best telesales agent ever. Deep breath and dial. A pause. One ring, two, three, and click. Typical. my first call and I get voicemail. But hang on. That voice. Strangely familiar. I check the screen in front of me. Would you believe it? I dialed my own number. I'm going for a lie down. Have a good week, folks. Goodbye.
Dialing your own number. I've actually butt-dialed myself. I don't know what my butt said to itself, but really, do you want to know? Thank you, Richard. I'm just going over in my mind a whole bunch of stuff. You would think that now that I'm driving and I'm one of you people, that I would feel more relaxed. Am I? Am I really relaxed? I don't know. I'll get over it. Let's see, I did the dishwasher, I did a new batch of iced tea, I should probably start doing laundry, I'd probably go and get groceries. If I do laundry now, we'll see. I may take a break and start the laundry up. I should have done it earlier. That way it would have been done by the time I'm done with the podcast. You know, like I usually do. Maybe I need a maid now. Maybe I need everyone to do my work for me. Maybe you should be doing the podcast for me. Yeah. Yeah. Or not. Anyway, thank you, Richard, again. And I know everyone's suffering through all my crap. And what is this? Ghosty. I know how the lame encoder got its name. He's tested. He wants another chance to spin. All right. Spin these wonderful musics for you. Perhaps this evening. Send me an IM if tonight is good for you. Thanks. Doesn't somebody else spin on Sunday? Selfish. Right. Zach, man.
I might be overstressed. I have been hearing a voice saying the oddest things. Not bad, I hope. This voice, is it telling you to do things? Well, actually, yes, but not anything really to fear. It tells me to wash behind my ears, balance my checkbook, and text my mother. Son, does this voice sound very familiar to you? Yes, like my mother's. With work and school, you haven't been spending much time at home, have you? No. Ask your roommate when is he going to tell you he bought an answering machine for which he gave your mother the number.
Thank you. What? Hold on. It's a Zach Mann double take. There are two Zach Mann stories. Hold that thank you for a moment. Let's hear Zach Mann's second story. The flip side of the album, as you will. Yes, kids, you were able to flip an album and play the other side. You can't do that on most CDs or DVDs, although DVDs really are recorded on both sides. Never mind. Here is Zach Mann's second story.
Sorry for using your explicit tag. Hey, look! That's the Fuck You song guy on TV! Honeyco, if you don't want to have an unpleasant night, you better watch your vulgar mouth and not talk bad about CeeLo Green. Dearest, just because you have only heard the radio version of a song doesn't mean the original isn't still online where it was popular first. Honeyco, just quiet and let me watch The Voice. You mean they made The Voice from 3-Minute Danger Theater into a TV show? Cool. No. How can this be The Voice when it doesn't even have a ventriloquist policeman?
Somebody went there. The Voice. Maybe Batman got that idea from them. Thank you, Zach Mann. And, two from Zach Mann. Maybe next week there will be three from the voice. Whew, man. I just got my laundry started. So I'm back on track, back on schedule, as they would say. Maybe I can get out at around 11 and pick up some groceries. Although I really don't need any. I've been doing soup, and I've been doing those spinach souffle things, and then microwaving up a can of mixed vegetables and mixing them in there. And that's good. It's good for you, I think. Probably not, though. Right, we've got a bunch more stories to go, and we're barely into this thing. So I should just shut up and play the record. Spate, now that you have your perfect audio setup going there, let's hear its mellifluous tones. Did I say that right?
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called
Voice of Destiny.
And here it is. Thus, little Jonathan was thrust into this world, exhibiting vocal qualities unremarkable to all except his mother. She lay drenched in sweat, half delirious, weeping from pain and joy, thinking, "This voice is destined for greatness. Maybe he'll be a singer." Or an actor.
To be or not to be.
Or a politician.
My fellow Americans, I come before you tonight as a candidate for the vice presidency and as a man whose honesty and integrity has been questioned.
But our lives rarely turn out the way our mothers expect. And while he wasn't rich or famous or powerful, John was very happy. Ironically, he was most happy about his voice. You see, at his job, he enjoyed making women quiver with desire whenever he asked,
"Would you like fries with that?"
I never used that as a topic, have I? Oh, thank you, Spate. And thank you, everyone, for telling me what you used to record. Although, not every one of you told me what you used to record. I guess you're keeping it secret. Secret, I tell you. This is just a exhibition. This is not a competition. I've gotten rid of the stupid polls. Oh, what mistakes we made earlier in our days. Now we make mistakes that last. Don't know what the hell I'm saying. Serendipity, what have you got to say? I'm just tripping over my own tongue.
You should speak, they say. Use your voice. To me, that seems all wrong. I am not real. I'm an imaginary person, a construct of pixels and ideas, not real at all. I cannot eat, sleep, drink, or breathe. My every action is dictated by another. I am as distant from the world of flesh and blood as a dream is distant from reality. Why give me a voice when the words I speak are those of another and the thoughts I express are not uniquely mine? And what if I did have a voice?
Would it make any difference?
What is your real voice? What is the voice that speaks for you? That's your real voice, I think. I'm not sure. I know that my voice is not the real voice for anyone but me, which is kind of why I don't like to record stories for people. Even when someone uses one of those text-to-speech things, or text-to-whatever, that's them using it. That's them putting their craft on it, and adjusting it if need be. They are customizing their voice. However, when it's me recording for them, you lose something in it, I think. What do you think? I don't know. Thank you, Serendipity. We'll see. We'll see. What I do know is that Cliff has far too many nicknames, and so let's just call him Cliff as we introduce his story. Cliff, let's go.
The first thing I checked was the communicator station. It was silent, Mission Control wasn't talking to us. Then I checked on Orlovsky. He was sound asleep in his bag, and after 3 months in orbit with the Russian, I knew he didn't talk in his sleep. So where was that voice coming from? It was intermittent, quiet, and annoying as hell. My mind listed possibilities. Ghost? Stowaway? Space madness? It turned out to be a pre-programmed microspeaker that I was sure Sullivan left on his last tour. So, I set it up for Orlovsky. We astronauts can be assholes. And here's another story on the subject of voice. Her voice was a kind of sexual magic. Men would empty their accounts at her request. They would abandon families just for a chance to carry her bags. Her power had corrupted her, and she would ask men to do things just to see them destroy themselves for her. She met her match in Roy. Her voice had no effect on him. The reason eluded her, and she hated it. Was he gay? Deaf? She discovered the truth when he calmly strangled her and saved the world. Her voice simply couldn't compete with all the ones already in his head.
Thank you. Cliff, are you one of the people that's competing or trying out or exhibiting or whatever for NaNoWriMo? Are you? Well, you should post a link to your word county stuff in the comments. Although, really, the only word count to me that matters is 100. I used to do NaNoWriMo, but I'm really not into it. Every year I would make something up, an excuse, when really I didn't do jack squat. What I do need to do is get some more incense for this room. The candle is one of those, you know, fancy candles. So, of course, the center of it burns, but the whole outside doesn't melt. So the wick goes all the way to the bottom, and there's a whole bunch of waste, which pisses me off. I hate wasteful candles. Maybe I should do something about it. I don't know. Invent a... You know, there's these warming plates that will warm your candle and get the aroma going out. And it doesn't do it with flame. That works, doesn't it? Although flame is... it's risky, and... There's a plus side to everything, and there's a downside to everything. Why must I keep looking at the downside? Instead, I will look at the plus side. With Tura, who will help me look at the plus side. Tura, let's go look at plus sides, shall we?
Everyone has a voice. The ones you usually hear about are the multiples. Legions say nasty things from within. But we're all sorts. Still small voices. Voices pretending to be spirits from Mars. Thunderous voices, like the chap in all the Hollywood film trailers. Some are silent. You know, the inner urging of conscience in the still of the night, the presence closer than your own heartbeat. You probably think you're a real person, and the voice is just some sort of brain quirk. The truth is, we're the real people. You're just the semi-intelligent machines that move our bodies.
Oh, that explains it. Cool. You should send that one to Drabblecast, by the way. Yes. Yes. Yes! I keep encouraging people to do that. Although, okay, I'll admit, sometimes in the topic posts I'll say, look, if you don't want to record your story for yourself, take it to Drabblecast. Like this is some sort of insult. No, Drabblecast is not an insult. It's actually a good place. But in addition to, what am I saying? I should just say thank you, Tora, because I like that one. I like them all. I like them all. Okay, so we have account. Did account get added? Okay, the topic is... Oh, shoot. Did I lose my entire list of upcoming stories? I did, didn't I? Oh, well, okay, I'll fix that in a bit. See, I make a mistake every week. Sometimes it's doing the podcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewrite this list. And while I'm rewriting this list, Helen has returned with her voice. And she's going to share it with you. See, people take a break. Then they think about it. And then they come in when they're ready. And some folks, they move on to greener pastures. Even greener. Bright green. Oh, wait, that's AstroTurf. No, I did not buy any seats or AstroTurf. It turns out that the staff at the auction was treating people like shit. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, you want to get all powerful and almighty and all that? You person who has no other job than signing up people for fucked up health care and voting, getting them to vote 5 times? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, why don't you go back to your halfway house? Oh, sorry. I'm being a jerk again. How about I shut up? And Helen, how about you save my ass?
Voice by Helen R. Starr, a.k.a. Explorer Dastardly. I love my friends for sharing their voices, and I love the 100-word story prompt voice. Thank you, crap. My voice represents truths, honesty, and engages logical thinking. My voice is inspired by other voices that engage the mind to use knowledge versus stupidity. What's your voice? My voice fights for injustices, freedom, and equality. My voice fights hatred, anti-Semitism, and ignorance. My voice helps, feeds, and clothes. My voice is fragile, soft, and loud. My voice is quiet. My voice is mysterious and creative. My voice has a mission. My voice is love. My voice is original and my own. Thank you, crap, and thank you for inspiring me to write about my voice. It has been quiet lately, and I cannot thank you enough.
Sometimes silence is the loudest voice of all. Thank you, Helen. What is your voice? What are you saying? Even when you say nothing, you're saying something, aren't you? I don't know. Maybe we should have a whole podcast on nothing, just people sending in a minute of silence. Have I done the topic of silence yet? I'm not sure. That would involve looking things up, so I will. Okay, we go into search, and we go to dash silence. And da 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 da, and I can't tell. It's just too many results. The silence is deafening, I suppose. One thing that's not deafening, though, is the sound of... What are you doing? Now Mist is wandering around. The poofy-tailed orange cat has returned. I posted a photo of poofy-tailed orange. I tried to figure out his name. It was so easy with Fluffy Boy, because his name was Boy. So it was like, oh, you're a Fluffy Boy. And he was like, meow. And I was like, what? Fluffy? Boy? Meow. Oh, your name is Boy. That was easy. So you should always pick a name for your cat that's easy to figure out. Although Tinny and Mist really aren't. And Bruin... You know, who's going to look that up? Yeah. Although Frisky would have been easy. You'd say, hey, Frisky Boy. And it's like, they would have figured it out. Orange Boy, Fluffy, Frisky. There's a list of the 100 most popular cat names, and what I do is I read them off near the cat, and whatever the cat says, oh, okay. Although it sometimes winds up just being cat. I say, hi, cat. He's a poofy tail, so I call him Poof. Or Poofy, which is a really bad name for a cat. Oh, what? Oh, sorry. Oh, right. I should probably play the next story. The next story is by Julie, who was recording while something was going on. You may notice from the background noise. Usually I'm the background noise. Wait, are you listening to me?
Hey, you guys. It's Julie. It's really loud out here. Hang on. Okay, well, it's called Voices, and here we go. I'm home. There's a party downstairs, to which I was not invited. I'm pissed off. I like a party, and I wanted to wear a pretty dress. This band seems to specialize in voices. First, one man sounds like John Lennon, and then Frank Sinatra. There's a lady who does Etta James. I'm not there, of course, because I was not invited, and pretend not to listen. Oh, now there's a George Harrison voice. The Paul Harmony guy sucks. I dance better than all the hedge fund wives, and I swirl happily in my cheap apartment. Play that funky music, bot boy.
You would think that if they hold a party and it's going to blast noise at everybody in the neighborhood, that they'd invite everyone. Because not inviting someone and then blasting noise, is there some sort of noise restriction law on the books? I know it's considered a dick move to, oh, well, you're not going to invite me, so I'm going to invite you. But you would think that they would invite, but they're the ones who did the dick move first. Or I don't know. What do I know anymore? What do I know anymore? Well, I know to thank you for the story. Some of those tunes were all right, but really? Okay. No, just, I'm having one of those days. At least I got the laundry started. Huh? Really? Yeah? We got a few more stories here. Gotta get through them all. And then we'll post this, and y'all will enjoy with your extra hour during the week, although I'm taking that extra hour to put this together, really. I should just play this one. Here's Justin with his story. For once, he's not the last. So here's Justin's story.
New Space Turtle, Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. I heard someone's voice yesterday at the store that I believe anyone who's heard it would recognize. It was the voice of Sam Elliott, who happened to be shopping at the store same time as me. Who knew? I guess he lives around here. That was pretty cool. But that's not my story. This story is about Star Trek Online. I've been playing that for a long time and a lot. The game's gotten better over time, and just now they've released an episode, a featured episode, where they got Michael Dorn to do the voice acting for Worf. So that's cool. Big update coming. It's going to be a Dyson Sphere. And on this Dyson Sphere, or in, I guess, the case maybe, are dinosaurs with frickin' lasers on their heads so you can fight. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Okay, story time. This is from the perspective of my captain. It's always different when you meet someone in person. I've heard his voice in some Starfleet training and while researching some records. But to meet Ambassador Worf face to face was something else. Deep below the surface of Mol Rehan, standing before an Iconian gateway controlled by the Romulan Republic, witnessing history. I've had many great moments in my career as a Starfleet captain, but this was the start of something huge, something bigger than I could ever have expected. Someone has been pulling the strings of the galaxy for an age. I aim to be there to sever the ties.
Thank you, Space Turtle. By the way, I just looked up, where is Sam Elliott's ranch in Oregon? He has a place near Elmira, Oregon. He occasionally comes to his parents' store to buy supplies, blah, blah, blah. He occasionally shops at the Fred Meyer in Portland, Oregon. So if you're stalking Sam Elliott, there's a hint. You know, he used to tweet, and he posted a photo of a kitty cat that he found near his truck once. But folks drama'd him out of Twitter. It was kind of sad. So, whatever. Gina didn't really buy a Chevy truck. I wouldn't say an Equinox is a truck. It's actually on a car frame. But, hey, you know, doesn't look like a car. I haven't driven it, though. So, and I don't plan on it. No. No, I'm not going to wreck it. No, I'm too busy wrecking the Blazer. Right, what am I saying? Oh, right. Thank you, Justin. Someone's been pulling the strings of the galaxy. How do you pull the strings of a galaxy? Wouldn't that be super strings? I don't know. What I do know is Norval Joe. He's got another interesting name here. As long as it's not Durgle. Okay, here we go with Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 393 with a prompt of voice. Tonight, I'm recording on a blue snowball microphone, USB microphone, which is actually black. But that's not the point. I'm in the front room near the fish tank, and you may hear it gurgling in the background. That's not the microphone. It's just because I'm too lazy to top the tank up with water. But here's my story. Piermont Freedangle sat alone at a long table in the back room of Signora Pinche's Café y Donateria. His local writer's meetup group had met, drank coffee, and ate donuts, then critiqued one another's monthly submissions. The rest of the group had left long ago, and quite abruptly, when he may have overreacted to a critique by an older woman who claims literary fiction is the only prose worth reading. Piermont stood and shouted, "You want me to find my voice? Well, here's my voice. Now, why don't you find it?" He sat down, realizing he had clearly lost it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Are snowball mics worth the cost? I thought about it, but they're so expensive. I'm looking at the one that Spate talked about here, and I'm totally on the bubble here. So if I go to blogging, click on that, and I click on this, and I click on that. It's I've got it. Funny, I used Amazon points. Yes, actually, I'm gonna. That one and that. Yeah, I may wind up getting that one for myself when I get more points on my card. Although I don't have any points on my Discover card now that I'm using the bank card, even though I should be shopping online with the Discover card for 5%, even though it's more convenient with the Amazon card. I don't know. Just points everywhere. Points, points! It's all crazy. I know I'm supposed to put gas on the Bank of America card, because it's 3%. It's just... And I tried to get one of their super deals. It was one place, then another, and then if you do two super deals, you wind up getting an extra $5, and it delayed me getting the super deal by a day, and then I wound up with this pitcher from Crate and Barrel that I don't really need. And I should probably just... I could have gotten a cheap plastic one for $4, and instead I spend 20. That's stupid. Whatever. I'm just blithering again. I wind up blithering after a while, you know? We're already over an hour here. My laundry isn't done. I haven't cleaned out my ears. And it piles up. This podcast is killing me, I tell you. Killing me. Even with the extra hour, there are not enough hours in the day. So, everyone, we are now reducing it to 3-word stories. Get your shit done fast. No babbling. I need to chill out. So let's chill out with Danny. Chill out with Danny. What are you kidding?
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer getting his story in just under the wire. And, well, actually not true. It's daylight saving, so, you know, got an extra hour here. So, it's not midnight, it's only, 11. So, hey, got some extra time. So let's see what I've been able to conjure up with Weekly Challenge 393, Voice, or as I call it, the Village Voice. I still read the Village Voice online, but it just isn't the same as when I would read my free copy every Wednesday while attending law school in New York City in the early 1990s. Right after the Wednesday morning lecture, I would rush to the main hallway, grab my free copy off the stack, sit down in the cafeteria, and immediately flip to the back pages to determine what music club I was going to Saturday night after work. CBGB's, Wetlands, Kenny's Castaways, The Limelight, clubs that no longer exist, distant memories in a corporate city that has lost its soul.
Thank you, Danny. I don't think I've read The Village Voice online. I don't read much. Well, I read a lot online, but what I read is... Ooh, let's see what's on Cracked. 5 famous symbols that were created to be horrible insults. 5 bizarre animal chain reactions our daily lives are causing. Pigs, bacon, I bet. All right. So, well, duh, I knew this one. Let's see. Let's scroll. Oop, wait. Hold on. That's the bell. I need to go change my laundry. So while I'm changing my laundry around, Maggie has joined us. I don't know if were you here before? I can't remember. I don't keep lists, and even if I did, I'm too lazy to look at them. So if you are here, she's been writing stories all week. Based on the stuff that I post, and now she's taking a crack at it. So here was Maggie, a robot read for her, because I'm, you don't want me reading for you? Really? Seriously? If you think my stuff is like, flattery isn't going to get you anywhere, and if you think it's like, you know, I'm too lazy, on you. Okay. So with that kind of introduction, here's Maggie.
Suddenly he heard a voice. Dan. No. There was no one around. Dan was gone. He checked the recorder. Dan was often recording stuff. Reckoned it kept him sane. Poor old Dan. Lost a lot of his hearing after the beating he got. No. No voice on the recorder. Bit of piano music, that's all. But it was a voice. Whose? Not mine, not Paddy's. It sounded more like Dan's. This room. This is where he... Better get out of here. Hello, Z. It was Dan's... Voice, deep, soft. Where are you? I stood by the piano. It played.
Thank you, Maggie. I thought about posting up a list of people who will volunteer to read stories for other people. Thought about it. I don't know. I just... Really? Do I have to put so much effort into this? And then you have to organize, and you have to deal with it. I organize enough, man. Really? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? See, I get really cranky towards the end, and the alarm went off for the laundry. I still haven't gone out there. All right, so Sing will give me plenty of time to get the laundry sorted and moved and all that. So here's Sing. While you listen to Sing, I'm going to get the laundry done. I'm going to clean my ears. I'm going to do the litter boxes. I'm going to get everything done that I should have been doing all this time with the extra hour that I've totally wasted. So here's Sing. Take the extra hour just to listen to this. I don't know. How many stories does he have? Just, damn, I'm cranky this morning.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 16, continued. Set in a village school in rural India, Yogi, who has left behind the hard work of meditation by the Ganges, discovers a talent for leading group devotional singing, while Margot watches on with some concerns. The voice was a bird on a buffalo, the twitter of crimson claws. Boys raised bhangra digits to the sky, pink ribbons jiggled on girls' plaits. The voice rattled the peepal leaves, the harmonium wheezed through its puncture. The heel of her hand worked its drum skin, palms clapped with happy static, a deep pulse toll from head to head, and finger cymbals set off other ringing. Now the voice was a river in a flood, flowing through the ether, through the akash. The bird voice rode the back of power, and swallows did their figure-eight flight, and wrote infinity above. His voice became a tall tale taken home. White Yogi with a guitar and happy clapping passed around, the god chants kept repeating. Celebrity swelled weakly to a crowd that gathered in the mandir, where bells rang each time a parent came to offer fruit or sweet rice, a flower, then sat down to join the swelling sea of Hare Ram. A drummer brought his expert dolak fingers, and a line of ladies chimed their finger cymbals as Yogi led the chant and added English. It sat awkward on their rustic tongues, while Foreign Madam clapped on at the back. He took Bob Marley's rock words and sang them to their source. Bum bum bola, bum bum bola, hail the simple Lord of Blessings, bum bum bole nat. A masala of holy names, a salty namkeen packet mix. Om Jai Shiva Om Kara, hail Shiva who is Om. Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Shiva Shiva El Supremo. He wanted to sing more from his notebook songs. Carry me over the worldly ocean, over the sea of samsara. Hey Mahadeva, hey Mahadeva, O my Lord Deliverer. In the end, he sang simple, bola. Bum bum bole nat. Call and response, call and response, like the tides of the Ganga. Fame spread far while Yogi kept on singing A to Z in school beneath the wish tree. The alphabet song would rise and fall until strumming stopped. He'd sign language to their giggles, then started off again. They followed his song lines beyond letters into words. Soon were trading Hindi. Apple for sabe, rice for paddy field. Orange was mosami. Banana became kela. A conga line made elephant a hati. A yogi with kids in tow went trumpeting up and down the dirt with arms raised up to noses like baby trunks, while little Atul clapped hairy halves of a coconut behind. Overbrimming with curriculum and accounts, she wiped the office desk of mouse dirt and listened through the window with no glass as he freestyled out there beneath the tree. She was glad to let her barked-out voice rest up, although she'd have to whistle him along with pedagogy. Just a lesson plan or two, yes. He had great entertainment value, but would run out of steam. Or they would, sooner or later. A teacher needed more in the bag of tricks to do her sleight of hand to pass the ace before the god of structure rang the bell.
And then it hit her, sitting on that throne of her flat metal chair that bit at her hip bone. Yogi was good with kids, although not her own. For all that Adelaide time and hard travelling alone, they hadn't let him in and did their spoiled moan to Papa, their howitzer, first chance on the phone. He had fired back at her, his rain of shrapnel blown, even though he had left her for that sharp-nosed clone of a wife who had stolen the Frenchman. She would atone one day for husband theft. All was on short-term loan. She voiced sharper feelings to herself, then realized she shouldn't speak at all. Margot was free as the gecko on the shelf, while Yogi was a snail learning to crawl. For now, he had Song's aura and could wow a crowd of devotees and do childcare. In this place of wheat fields ready to plough, he might grow up to speak true through hot air. But fans were closing ranks. Was he the star, the next to fall flat through fame's love affair? She closed her eyes and saw the town bazaar, and beyond, her singer with his hot guitar. Bombola nata, bombola nata, hey Mahadev. Bombola nata, bombola nata, hey Mahadev. Bombola nata, bombola nata.
Thank you, Singh. When he puts together the whole thing, the yogi and the madam and all that, he's going to put it up on his site so you can hear it all at once, just like the last story and then the bumboat stuff and this and that. And when it all comes together, you'll hear it. And there are people with books and stuff. The links are out there up in the show notes. And you can chase them down and hunt them down and see what they all mean. And this isn't the only place on the internet, thank God. But explore. Think of it as a springboard, a way station, a stop on the subway of writing, I suppose. Go to the surface. Go to the surface. Attack the Eloy. Okay, so I've got the stuff moved over to the dryer. I've got another 45 minutes. Not for this podcast, though. That's right. It's time to wrap this up. And that means we have one story left. And you know who it is. It's Planet C.
The opera announced that the entire week's performances were canceled. The diva had lost her voice. The performances would be rescheduled when her voice returned, but refunds were available. I know they're lying, because her voice isn't lost. It's being held for ransom, here, in this coffee can. That's right, I stole it. I want $1 million for it, and I know that the insurance company will cover it. They tried to trick me into letting them hear it over the phone, but I know that's how voices can escape. It ain't over until the fat lady pays up.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of voice by a whole bunch of people. Oh, man. You should let them know how much you enjoyed their stories. Put a comment up at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com and say, hey, I really liked your story. Fill in the blank. Although if it's Phil, then it's... Anyway, what you can do is share this with folks and let them know that you enjoyed how much this stuff... And I'm just tripping over my goddamn tongue. I should just shut the hell up and post this. So that's what I'm going to do. Thank you all for listening, for putting up with my shit every week. And those who don't put up with my shit every week, Well, you're the wise ones. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.